Welcome to Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn a humble idea into a pitch for an awesome movie. My name is Freddie Wong. Lo-fi piano.
Here's a vintage quote from a movie that's played slightly distorted over a soothing string section.
Yeah, here's a bit where we chop up a little bit of piano and just loop it.
Looks like this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Hi, I'm Will Campos, and I'm feeling pretty chill.
Hey, everybody, it's Matt Arnold.
Are we advertising the CBD gummies or whatever this week?
No, not anymore.
That'd be a good one for this.
Ooh, not anymore.
That'd be good. I'm Matt Arnold, and I could use a little bit of CBD gummies.
What does CBD stand for? Go.
CBD stands for crotchety bad dick.
Dang. Chill was right there. Chill beats to discuss.
Oh,
dang.
That's good.
We're doing, what are we doing, Freddie?
We're doing the infamous.
I don't know if she's infamous.
Famous. Yeah, that's
just famous.
She's just famous.
She's just.
Well, she might be infamous by the end of our story, though.
Adored, beloved cartoon YouTube character and lo-fi beat channel, Lo-Fi Girl. I assume all Zoomers do this, but if you're a Zoomer and you're doing your Algebra 2 homework or whatever, and you want some music to put on, you go to YouTube, you Google, I just want some chill beats to study to, and then you get a looping video of what looks like to be like a chill young woman relaxing in her apartment in a sort of a Ghibli-esque animated aesthetic, reading and writing and studying and doing her homework. And they play nice music to it.
I'm doing
the worst explanation.
No, that's essentially what it is.
That's about right.
This picture, just to give a little bit, if you haven't seen it, I just strongly recommend just quickly looking at Lo-Fi Girl, Lo-Fi Hip Hop Radio, and just seeing the picture so you get a full. But it's like a kind of a Ghibli-esque brunette.
It is. It's a trace off of a Ghibli.
Oh, yes,
is
it? Yes, it is the main character from the Studio Ghibli film Whisper of the Heart. I think they changed it a little bit.
It looks like, maybe high school or middle school girl with brunette hair and beats headphone with a fun little life and googly eyes on it. She looks comfy. She's in a sweater. She's in a nice chair.
Raining or snowing outside.
Yeah.
Very cozy aesthetic.
She's got a cat at her window. She's got a big lamp, like a Pixar type lamp, like lighting up her desk. And she's got some plants
and some arm lamps.
And she's got a laptop and books. It's just like a chill. And that background always looks like European, like nice, like European city.
Here is what I love about Lo-Fi Girl. More specifically, these sort of like chilled out atmospheric sort of vibe.
Yeah.
This is a whole aesthetic. You see, there's like vaporwave music does this a lot. There is like a real desire for soothing. This is basically like the internet version of the Yule log back in the day, where you'd put the looping video of the fire and you'd listen to the crackle of the fire or whatever. This is like an aesthetic mood. And it's one that I don't think we explore a whole lot as filmmakers. And I don't think it's one that cinema in general explores a whole lot. It's something that's very relegated to like indie slice of life kind of stuff. But is the idea, I've always been interested in the idea of a comfort movie. People have comfort movies, especially so much cinema is about conflict and it's about struggle. And it's like the idea of turning to art and turning to something like this as a way to soothe and a way to relax. So Lo-Fi Girl seems to me like an interesting springboard to like, what's a movie that would honor the vibe of Lo-Fi Girl?
What's a chill movie to study to?
That's what you get from this?
Yeah.
I always got a really dark, like Sisyphus type feel where this girl just keeps writing half a page over and over again for eternity.
I'm 12 and I'm very smart.
As every viewer, like weird voyeurs,
subversion of this beautiful image.
And her only friend is a cat who never turns around to look at her even. Just the cat just stares out the window wishing he was anywhere else than being with his only friend.
I'm scanning through the various renditions of this. There's been a few variations. The original one, it was nighttime outside. The one that's up now kind of has what appears to be like a hilly Italian city or some sort of very Kiki's Delivery Service outside. You never find the face of the cat. So let's just file
the
that
cat
away.
There's a cat watching out the window.
Do Zoomers have cats?
Zoomer, hit us up on Twitter. Let us know if you kids are having cats these days. Do y'all have cats? Are cats yeet? Are they YOLO?
This feels quaint, right? Do kids have laptops and cats and lamps still? Are they all like on hoverboards, TikToking? Like is this real?
Most kids were doing their homework in Fortnite these days. Kids have homework, or is homework too cringe for this new generation?
So fucking old. Oh man. Okay.
Oh my god. I'm an old creaky skeleton.
This does feel very old and classic. No, obviously, it's not going to be Sisyphus. Like, obviously, I understand this is a loop. I'm not an idiot, but okay. So she's got cat. She looks up at the cat.
And she's stuck in the
what
time.
What I like is that in this loop, she definitely looks up at the cat. Is like cat still chilling? cool. Castiel chilling. Back to work. Yeah. Like, just like, you know, comfortable. Like, this is nice.
This is really about the normalization of capitalistic work culture through this sort of soothing, cozy aesthetic is supposed to lull you into feeling like work is soothing.
Will is a
Wake up, man.
Just as a heads up, we are obligated to disclose that Will has purchased a book by Zizek.
I'm knee deep in Zizek these days.
Which means that, you know, as all
means I understand 10% of it, and I'm going to act like I understand 150% of it.
Which means, again, all podcasts do need to disclose that at the top when a podcaster starts to read the work of social.
Once you go Zizek, you can't go Bizek, my man.
Exactly. Do you think people look at Lo-Fi Study Girl and they're like, man, I wish I had that level of focus and attention?
Yeah, I'm a shot. Like, to me, the most unrealistic thing about Lo-Fi Study Girl is that she's not checking her phone every 3 seconds. Like, I try to focus on a simple task.
I mean, you know, drop your devices. Just have a cat and a nice window outside.
I think people like it because I think at the end of the day, as much as we make fun of like homework and stuff,
notoriously one of our classic punching bags on Story Break is the concept of
homework. I meant the royal us. I meant human. I meant, you know, I meant like the Bart Simpsons of the world, you know?
Yes, iconic cartoon character Bart Simpson.
Barts of the world unite. We have nothing to lose but our homework.
I think we're a lot of people. People, this is like peak life. Like, I look at this, I'm like, this is kind of my end game. Like, I'm fine with this. Like, just like chilling to some beats, like learning something, like, you know, reading some Warhammer books, you know, like reading whatever smart thing Will's reading, and just like having a cat at the window and just like chilling. Like, this is good life. Like, look at the world we're in now. Look at that. Would you not trade places with her in 2 seconds?
It's, you know, there is, yes, there's a bit of yearning. There's a bit of nostalgia to it. I mean, I think it's go ahead.
No, because she's left-handed, and that would be terrible.
Okay.
She's just left.
I said switch places with her, not absorb her, like not possess her. Like, you could just.
You don't have to be a disgusting left-handed freak.
All I'm saying is that society is built for right-handed people.
You know what? I'm tired of those left-handed people complaining. It's fine. Your life is fine. What's really a problem with your left hand? What's happening?
I mean, she's just going to smear.
I'm going to stand up for left-handed people. My sister is left-handed. If anyone comes for left-handed people, I will find you and I will kill you.
That Simpsons episode with the left-handed.
The left-handed. So good.
Anyway, okay.
So, good.
Anyway. So
if you're offended, if you're left-handed, you're offended by that. I don't care. That's my group I'm okay getting canceled by. So famous last words.
So just a
famous last words. Famous internet last words.
I'll put that on a shirt.
Matthew Arnold.
Famous podcaster Beth May is going to come for you. She's left-handed, man.
No.
Okay, so I want to just
of the show.
So I just want to discuss really quick about Lo-Fi Girl. There's a multiverse of them.
Okay.
There's versions of her that are like, maybe that doesn't.
She can be in different locations. She can move.
So here's, all right, to center us a little bit before we slander any more groups of people, we've bought the rights to Lo-Fi Girl because Zoomers flip for Lo-Fi Girl, right? So we want to give them a movie that gives them what they love.
They like to remember
about
when
this
there used
video
to be cats.
They do homework in.
Yes.
So is it like
who
what
is she? Here's the thing, because to get back to what you were first talking about was like this idea of like this like comfort movie and like lack of conflict and this sort of stuff, because we've talked about this before. And I think, again, the one that we often reference that I think, you know, because a lot of people will, I've definitely seen critics that watch like Kiki's Delivery Service be like, oh, that movie doesn't have conflict. And
yeah,
it's like,
that's
all, exactly. All stories have like, even if you don't want to have conflict, all stories, there is inherently conflict in like life in some regard. Even if the conflict is as simple as fucking fighting gravity and keeping your feet moving, like there's something going on. And Kiki's Delivery Service, I think, is very close to me for like a comfort movie. Like, we'll often just have Kiki's Delivery Service on and you can just like, you can just live in the world. The world is so, even when there's all this like heart in it and there's emotions, like it's just this really comforting place
to be in. This is interesting. I want to tap into that a little bit because I'm sitting before two people who just watch Frasier over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And that, as I take it, a comfort show for you.
Yes, it's the ultimate.
So can we break that down for a second? Let's get into what about Frasier's comfort? Like, what is a comfort thing?
Here's to jump.
Because I don't have anything like that.
Here's the thing. I bet you do. We just got to dig it out. But here's the thing about a comfort thing. And this is what's tricky about this is that a comfort thing becomes a comfort thing.
Yes.
Like, because art is inherently like, you watch a story and the first time you watch it, you don't know what's going to happen, right? So you're on edge a little bit, right? You're invested and you're engaged and it really, like, you're like, you don't know, it could go any number of ways. Once you have seen something and you know you like it, when you put it on, you know what you're getting into. And yeah. So you're able to relax more. So it's like you can still engage with something, but there's no anxiety to it. And obviously shows that have light themes and have that are focused on, you know, again, there's a reason for sitcoms do this for a lot of people. But yeah. Only some sitcoms. Like, I don't know anyone who has Seinfeld as their comfort.
No, show. Absolutely. Yeah.
Or like, or Always
or
Sunny
Curb.
In Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Right? Like, anything that's about like social cringe and like, yeah. You know, like just people being shitty and getting punished for it. Like again, Frasier, he always gets comically foisted on his own petard, but he's like a good person.
And what he's dealing with is not. It's pretty much inoffensive the vast majority of time. You know, Frasier, I say more than most shows, but there's, you know, there's a few little episodes like, oh, it's a little problematic nowadays. But overall, like, it's light, it's fun, it's full of people who love each other. And also, Frasier, for me personally, just has, like, everybody's voice is just, like, baritone, like,
it's
flawless.
It's a very beige show.
Yeah,
it's
very
neutral
beige.
Colors.
Yes.
So I actually, because I just read this quote this morning by Ursula K. Le Guin that struck me as, you know, particularly germane. Modernist manuals of writing often conflate story with conflict. This reductionism reflects a culture that inflates aggression and competition while cultivating ignorance of other behavioral options. No narrative of any complexity can be built on or reduced to a single element. Conflict is one kind of behavior. There are others equally important in any human life, such as relating, finding, losing, bearing, discovering, parting, changing. Change is the universal aspect of all these sources of story. Story is something moving, something happening, something or somebody changing. Which I just thought was a beautiful quote. As someone who gets very obsessed with, like, what's the conflict in this scene? Like, it's something I need to remind myself of. But to that idea of change, maybe this is part of the problem, and maybe this is the riddle to solve. Lo-Fi Beats Girl does not change. She loops.
Yeah. Doesn't change come from conflict?
Huh?
Doesn't change come from conflict?
Not necessarily.
Change like, comes slowly, like erosion.
Is it conflict that causes the earth, the sun to fucking rise and set in the sky? Like, that's change. The seasons are changed. Like, you know? And again, she's not saying that stories don't have conflict. She's just saying that.
I also don't know if all stories
element.
Need to have change either.
Oh,
is
I
what
see.
I was getting at.
Well,
I was just being contrarian.
Indeed. Yeah. Okay, so.
But I feel like, okay, just to step back, I feel like what's the best way to approach this is her as a character. I think if we tried to make a movie about a girl studying for 2 hours, we're fucked. Like, this is.
Unless
we can.
What if we do? But anyway, yes. Yeah, so, yes, yeah, she's a girl. She's in middle school and a generic city somewhere in the world
with vague European nice architecture that wasn't fucked up by World War II.
She lives in the basically the modern version of the city from Kiki's Delivery.
Yeah, that's
yes.
What it is.
They got good 5G coverage.
So,
but no McDonald's. Is that crazy?
I mean, there might
there's
be.
Not a, that's fucked up. I watched Kiki's Delivery Service and there's not a single McDonald's or Starbucks in that whole movie. And you're expecting me to believe,
Freddie? Can you tell me how many movies you've seen that have either a Starbucks or McDonald's? If you can tell me two right now.
Oh, plenty. Fucking, what
the
was
The Founder
that?
With Ray Kroc.
The Founder, Ray Kroc. What a
Zoomers
masterpiece.
Zoomers love the story of Ray Kroc, the founder of McDonald's. They flip for Michael Keaton. He's right up there with BTS.
Best in Show mentioned Starbucks, but doesn't show a Starbucks.
Yeah, but that counts. They acknowledge the existence.
I gave it to you. Okay.
They acknowledge the existence of... the greatest coffee chain on earth.
Right. Okay, okay.
So
we need a story. Okay, fine. She changes. She doesn't have conflict. She just changes. Whatever
so
that
she
said.
She's studying for a test.
Was
is
she
that,
studying? Yes, a test. Yes.
It's
okay.
The test, man. It's studying for a test.
Why do you see? This is exactly what the quote is talking about. A certain sort of training has made you think that studying has to be conflict, has to be tested. Can't she just be studying for change and learning?
She's clearly studying for class. Like I think we can. I mean, I guess we don't know. You're right.
We don't know that. But I think
she's
it's a fair assumption.
Out. It appears to be a textbook she's working out of. Like,
Let's deep dive into this image really
quick. Maybe the real question is, why do you assume that studying for a test has to be conflict for this young woman?
Oh, you're right.
You know, like, maybe why have you made a learning such an antagonistic thing?
Damn,
in your
the
mind?
Tables have turned. Well, okay, now to Matt's
well, that's
point,
what test
though.
Does.
Now to Matt's point.
I don't know. She goes on a magical adventure with a cat. Like,
no, slice of life. No magic in this one. No
I
magic.
Think that she has a test. And she got to study for the test.
She got to study for a test. What's the test? Why she looks I would say bored,
hold on,
but like
hold on gentlemen,
what? enhance
I'm enhancing and I'm looking deeper into this.
Okay,
what studying for a test involves you writing in a journal?
Is she writing in a
no,
journal?
No,
she's writing in a journal.
She's writing notes
based on what? That she's
is
not
it
referencing
now, is
any
it,
other
I mean,
work,
it could be, book it, or it could is be, it a hard
it's
book?
A what appears to be a blank journal that she's writing lines in. She's not referencing any other work. She has her computer opened up to what appears to be YouTube.
The only thing she looks
she's
at while
writing.
She writes.
She's writing about the
cat.
She's writing about the cat. Look at this.
She's writing
oh
a
God.
Letter to the cat.
You guys just blew the whole goddamn thing open.
She is writing. The only thing she looks at is
she's writing an apology letter to the cat. Because the cat's angry at her.
The cat's not looking at her. The cat's angry.
I do want to say she is called lo-fi. Well, is she just called lo-fi girl? She called lo-fi study girl.
So it depends. The title of the video is often beats to. Now
it's just the beats and not the girl.
The radio is just the beats to relax and study to. But the girl is just called lo-fi girl.
So yes, you're right. It is ambiguous whether lo-fi girl is studying or relaxing. That is the ambiguity. That is the Mona Lisa smile of lo-fi girl. Is she studying? Is she relaxing? We don't know. I'm going to drill down on this. I swear to God, I did not take any edibles before I'm about to say this. That ambiguity allows you, the viewer, to project onto lo-fi girl whatever you are doing. Mm-hmm. If you're putting on the beats to just relax, then that's what she's doing. If you're putting on the beats to study, then she's studying. The ambiguity of the image is central to what makes it compelling.
But the movie has to answer the question.
Or does it?
Bear with me. What if, just to track down what Freddie and I were saying for a second.
This is this like could making be a dumb Link idea. Talk. Is like, is a lo-fi girl studying or relaxing?
No, she's not
like,
doing either. The cat's mad at her, and she's sitting here, and every time she turns, she's writing an apology note, and then she looks at the cat and goes, nah, he's not like that one. And she turns the page and starts a new apology note.
So it is Sisyphus.
She is trying to, she'll figure it out eventually. Like, you start the movie with this image, you're like, oh, what is she doing? And we answer the question, and then when she's finally done with the letter, she goes, okay, Katie, can you look at me? Here's, I'm sorry. I ate all your tuna. I know you wanted it, but you already ate it enough today. And I hope you forgive me. And
okay,
then the cat just walks away.
I have two more clues that I've picked up from enhancing this image.
And she's just a little weirdo. Who
to,
talks
her side,
to her
side, she has a visible and legible copy of Lady Chatterley's Lover. Mm-hmm. And on her bookshelf, above her to the top left of the thing, we have Shorelock, which appears to be... which appears to be a Sherlock Holmes novel, but either misspelled or an alternate universe version. But those
it's
are
her
two
own
clues.
Fan fiction. She's writing her. She wants to be a writer.
Mm-hmm. And so in Whisper of the Heart, the girl is working on a novel. That is explicitly she is writing. She is.
Yes.
And
yes.
Actually, the girl is not a chill situation. The Whisper of the Heart is, by the way,
movie.
One
fantastic
of the most
movie.
Criminally
my,
underrated
secretly
Ghibli
my,
movies.
Secretly,
yeah.
Whisper of the Heart and Porco Rosso are my two favorite Ghibli.
So Whisper of the Heart is about a young girl who is trying to like find her passion in life, and she decides to, through a series of events. She's like, wants to be a writer. And this is from the scene where she has basically abandoned her schoolwork and her entrance exams, which in Japanese society is a big fucking deal,
yeah,
to essentially work on her novel instead of studying.
Mm.
Which is a very dramatic situation.
Yes.
Oh, fuck. How are, this is a slippery one. I feel like I just told us to free solo up LCAP here. Like, I like wig.
Freddie, I think Will doesn't want it to be an apology letter to the cat.
Yeah, I think Will's trying to go in the
Dear realm. Matt, I'm sorry. I don't like your idea. I'm going to turn. No, he's not going to like this. Dear Matt, I don't think your idea works. No, he's going to argue with me about that.
Okay. For all. Look.
Okay, all right. I don't
producer,
know. But Matt,
hat, just
Matt?
Producer hat on. Okay. Producer hat on. 1 second. All we have, this is the first frame. Look, if the Zoomers are coming to our movie, if they're finally getting out of their cyborg machines and like...
their cyborg machines?
And traveling through the TikToks and
they can put down their TikToks and Oculus Quests for just 1 second.
Yeah, putting down their hoverboards for a second to go to an old-fashioned movie theater to watch this movie. The first image they expect to see is this. They're like, hey, I came here for a lo-fi girl. The first image better be a lo-fi girl. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is the start of your movie. And then from here, otherwise... every time you don't show that for the entire beginning of the movie, all they're doing is like, when are you going to give me that frame of the lo-fi girl? Why am I watching the rest of this fucking movie? 20 minutes in, I still haven't seen the frame.
No, but that's a real question. Does it build up to lo-fi girl? Do you know what I mean? Avengers doesn't start with the wraparound shot of the Avengers and Hulk screaming. It builds up
it's
to lo-fi girl. So like, maybe this is about like, she's like, no, she's got to study, right? And then you get to that moment about an hour in, and then the video goes viral of the midnight crowd screaming like an Avengers Endgame when the girl fucking finally does the lo-fi studying.
Okay. I'm going to say two stupid
things.
Wait,
what if the secret is that to her studying is relaxed?
Well, I was going to say two stupid things. First, yes, the whole movie builds to this frame. Mm-hmm. And then you're in this frame suddenly, and she's about to get into the chair, and then the screen cuts black, and it's the end. You're like, ooh, you never saw it. Isn't that such a smart movie? Anyways, the real answer is, who's filming her? Her little brother is just filming her, and then he puts it online, and it goes viral, and then she becomes viral. You actually literally do the story of this girl. It's like, you're a viral sensation. Everybody's just looking at you while you study.
Wait a second. You're onto something, Matt.
And she's like, why did you do this?
Because now you're talking about the other part of this. So I was reading that, I can't remember, and please, I could be completely wrong about this, but one of the reasons, if I recall, that mukbang became popular in Korea, mm-hmm. like watching other people eat, is that in their work culture, you eat lunch by yourself at your desk.
Mm-hmm.
So the communal part like of eating is you don't get to participate in it. So like the idea of like these videos of people eating, you put them on while you're eating, and it's like a sort of surrogate thing. And again, I could be completely wrong, so please let me know if I am. Well, with Chill Lo-Fi Study Girl, like if you look at the comments, there's a sort of communal aspect.
Hey, just
of
watch
people,
it. Just be like, hey, I'm studying too. And
people in the comments are talking to each other about
Gentlemen, I'm in the comments right now.
What are they saying? What are the Zoomers saying?
A lot of kiss emojis. Prasil esta en todo lugar. And also a lot of different languages in here.
The whole world watches this.
I got Arabic in here. I got Spanish. I got Cyrillic. This is truly an international figure.
So you're saying we do a story where
a girl who just likes to be alone and studying, and then she becomes like this icon, and now she's noticed everywhere.
Here's what it is. You ever see those things where people are like, hey, check out this like camera feed for like this bird's nest in Yellowstone, and then pretty soon like the eagles start to hatch and then everyone sort of gathers around it. Mm-hmm. What if this is a scenario where like her nest camera is just on for some reason and people find the link, and then slowly it's like she becomes a lucky charm for everyone who studies. It's like, I studied with Lo-Fi Girl, I aced the test, but she doesn't know it. She's
I feel bad.
Why? Why, Matt?
I feel like
Tell
we us. Just instantly turn this into like a zany YouTube influencer thing so easy. We can't even make a single story about a normal human being.
All right.
Can't
all
she
right.
just be let's, a girl who studies?
My note was going to be, is it does feel a little fantastical.
Yeah, like let's just like, what is this? Like,
people need to support. People need to fucking secure those ports on their devices, Will. There's nothing fantastical about someone coming in and snooping on your webcams, okay?
Unless,
change the defaults, change the passwords, people. You can Google this stuff so easily.
Unless you were going to do it was a story about like these sort of, I would do like a very procedural minutia story about someone being like, I want to create a channel that's just about being chill. And then like the effort they go to cultivate the chill aesthetic. And then like, this is the video they come up with is of themselves studying, but it's about that. It's like, I would do it like on a very low, again, like in a lo-fi sort of very earnest way, as opposed to it being like a big zany story about someone going viral and becoming a superstar. But even then it feels a little not germane to like, it feels like you're getting a little too metatextual with it.
What if the movie is, she comes home and her mom's like, you got dinner at 6, and she's like, it's 4:00, and she's like, I have 2 hours to study
for this test.
And then the whole movie somehow takes place in this room as she's studying.
A one-location thriller.
Not a thriller, just study.
A chiller.
Do you
a
want
chiller.
It to be chill? Like, how can you evoke this lo-fi
this
chill?
Is what I'm into. This is my
like
whole
slice
kink.
Of life.
This is
like,
my whole storytelling kink right now. Is like, what is a micro story? Like, what? Yes. Like, we all know, like, Hollywood is about these big action bananas. Like, what is the smallest, what is the minimum viable human product that you can make a movie out of?
Like, the first little tension of the story is she just sits down. She's like, I got 2 hours to study. She sits down. She puts on the earphones and she starts playing some lo-fi beats.
Well, hold on.
And
you're then, just wait, assuming wait, that she's listening to lo-fi beats. This, she I'm, could so be
just,
listening to podcasts.
This, then you can. Like, You can comment on the story once the story's done. It's like the
Tell
very
us
first
a story, Matt.
I was just saying the very first conflict is as simple as like, okay, you're with this movie. It's like, oh, I get this. It's lo-fi beats. Hey, where's the cat? And then you hear a little scratch on the door, and she can't hear it. And then you just cut outside to the cat, and the cat's like, and the cat's like putting his paws underneath, and then she's like kind of spinning in her chair, bored. And the paws come in, but as she spins, the paws like go back out, so she misses them. You're like, oh no, the cat just wants to come in.
You're
just
talking
this very
about like
tiny little, and then you're like watching this cat, and then like the mom comes by and like misses the cat. You're like, oh, the cat's not gonna get in.
This is like a very like a Jacques Tati's playtime,
just super small. And then like the first, literally the first arc,
Matt,
the first
you're speaking my language. I'm first, so pumped. We found it.
The first 5 minutes, is she finally realizes. As she finally sees the cat from something weird, and she's like, oh, the kitty wants to get in. She opens up and the kitty goes on, and then the kitty's looking away from her. She's like, oh, are you mad because I didn't let you in? Oh, and then she like goes back to studying, and she's looking at her cat. It's like, okay, that's the first 10 minutes of your movie.
That's true.
Like,
this is super what we're looking micro at here is our act one break.
Yes. Okay. Like yes. Her like
oh,
yes.
And then her pencil lead runs out, but
yes,
she doesn't.
I was like, all right, throw it at me. One, can't find the pencil sharpener, right?
Yes.
Easy. Or like
it's a mechanical
like,
pencil,
the,
Will.
It's a mechanical pencil. All right, the pencil is doing that thing.
Oh,
where,
the
like, the lead keeps
go,
slipping
yeah,
back
yeah,
in.
Oh, yeah. How do you fix it?
You can get 10 minutes out of her fucking around with this mechanical pencil, right? All right, yes. So you got the... Okay, so yes, in terms of your stakes, it's like she didn't realize, or like they've moved the test up. She mm-hmm. was going to study over the weekend, but the mm-hmm. teacher is not going to be out of town, so they moved the test up to Friday.
No, that's illegal. They can't do that. You can't
no,
do
I like,
that.
I like the actual studying part. There's no real stakes to the studying part. Like she's got to study, but I don't feel like it's this. Because
oh,
then there's
this.
Tension.
Oh,
then,
you're right. I'm doing too much. I'm
yeah,
making too much
tense.
Of a meal out of it. She's got like, 2 hours to study before
she's
dinner.
She's got 2 hours to study before dinner.
Yeah. Okay, so she's like, oh, I need to study. So she's got 2 hours to study for, yes, because she's got a test next week.
Yes. And by the way, you know what I like about the dinner thing is that it allows you to end the movie 15 minutes straight of Ghibli food montage.
Oh, yes, that's the B plot is the fucking mom making dinner.
Oh, my God, it just keeps cutting back. And just the most
steaming
luscious
shots of like steam rising from the pot, chopping vegetables.
Oh, you guys are already noting gravity and saying they got to go to mission control. No. What you do is... She opens up her drawer and she's got like a little like Triscuits box and she's like, oh, there's no Triscuits. And she just sighs and she puts them away and she keeps studying. And then what's that coming through the vent? It's the smell of her mom's cookies. Like,
oh, yeah.
And then she's like, her tummy's rumbling. So then she like covers the vent with like a pillow, but then she can still smell it. So then she like tries to move to the other side. Like, it's just like, she's just trying to avoid being hungry. It's just like a super simple
that's
little.
That's very fun. I like that. And yes, because then it's the sound. It's the sound of like frying bacon or whatever. Yes. It's all the sounds of the chopping and the this and that.
And by the way, you're like, is this a 15 course meal that mom is making?
Actually, I love the chopping because she stops the noise when the sound's coming in and it's like hitting, and then you do a fun like musical sequence where like the chopping's like the beat of her music and she's trying to like ignore the fact that she's hungry.
So that's a good question. That's a good question. What are the most aesthetic foods in anime? I'm just gonna Google that real quick.
Aesthetic foods. I mean, to me, the rice balls in Spirited Away.
Oh yeah, onigiri is the number one on this. Yeah.
Here's how you make this comfort food. The way this is solved is she's getting hungrier, hungrier. The chopping's getting louder.
Mom comes up with a little snack.
Yep, the door just opens. Hey, honey, before dinner, here's a little snack.
Little croquette?
That's it.
Little
croquette?
And then, but does she share it with the cat?
Yes, and then she
and that's how the cat gets back on her side.
She solved the cat problem.
Holy shit. My heart's pounding out of my chest right now, Matt.
I don't want to make this fucking mellow-ass movie.
Just vibes, man. Just vibes.
Only vibes.
Okay, so the kitty, so that's a good little plot. The kitty wants to get in.
Kitty mad, right? Kitty wants to get in, gets ignored, gets let in, but then is mad. And then you need the reconciliation with the cat.
Yeah.
And, and then the fun too is that the cat even like tries to go outside on the way and can't figure it out.
Yeah. Picking up on some other stuff. Yeah. So like, yes, then you have the mom cooking, right? Yes. And her hungry.
Yes.
Her being hungry and like, you know, wanting food. And then the mom comes up with food. Like, love it. Perfect. And then giving the food to the cat, those two plots, you didn't think they were related. Yeah. Boom.
Boom. They were related.
Synthesis.
Can I just throw something out here really quick?
Mm-hmm.
A thought. Just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
This person is doing nothing right now. She is sitting there. She is studying. There's a cat in frame. It's a loop.
Mm-hmm.
34,000 people watching. This makes Lo-Fi Girl one of the top streamers in the world right now.
Yep.
Why doesn't someone start a Twitch channel that they don't even address chat? It's just beats and it's just like a
IRL loves
like an IRL, and it is just about an aesthetic frame as comfy as possible, as just beats, and it's just that.
I'm sure people have tried doing you've seen people try. I think a live person wouldn't work. It's like this cartoon is
I do think that animation abstracts it in a way that lets you project yourself a little bit more.
Yeah, if I saw a real person on there, I'd be like, hey, hi, why am I watching a real person?
Well, let's talk about the study process.
Oh, yeah, what's she learning?
Well, it's a homework load, right? Like, so she's got 2 hours to do her homework. Is it multiple subjects? Is it just studying? Or is it like, I have to do some math problems?
It's got to be like an essay. She got to write something, it feels like. Because she's writing here, you know?
Yeah, so it could be an essay. But what I'm saying is, like, if we're going to expand this out a little bit, do you do like, okay, so she's got a schedule, right? She's going to get 2 hours. I'm going to spend 30 minutes on my math homework, 30 minutes on my social studies, 30 minutes on history. That is social studies, 30 minutes on science. And then she saved the toughest one for last. Like, she has to analyze a poem. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like and you do something like that. And then so like you've got a little bit of tension there of like the math problem takes too long or she spaces out. Like her daydreaming seems like a fun thing, right? Like her doodling on the page. Like she just starts filling in the O's on the page and then she realizes she wasted 15 minutes.
Oh, there's like 10 minutes on just doodles. Just a little scratchy ASMR.
You know, like,
ass
I'm trying to think like when I was a kid, like, you know, like that part of the struggle, Matt has gone into his mind palace.
You do, because I'm trying to think of stuff that's as unstressful and untense as possible.
Yes.
So, like, how about I'm looking at, like, she's studying whatever it is. She's writing an essay, and then she looks up in that little planter she's got, and she sees a little caterpillar. She's like, oh, and then she starts doodling the caterpillar. And then the caterpillar...
Doodling. Shut the fuck up, Matt. That's fuck so fucking good.
And then God damn. Fucking Christ.
And then dude, fucking caterpillar. Look, you, Ghibli caterpillar. You start doing fucking Ghibli drugs? Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
Get the fuck out, Matt.
And then the caterpillar starts scurrying away and like it moves around the little trunk and she's like, and she frowns because it's like your artist, like, you know,
your
moving.
Subject has eluded you.
She's
like,
so she turns the plan. Yeah, she rotates the plan and she keeps drawing it. And then the cat, and then you just keep cutting to the cat and the cat's kind of eyeing you like, oh, is the cat going to swipe at it? But of course the cat's not going to swipe at it.
Cat's too lazy.
But you just do.
The cat and the caterpillar share a moment.
Or it's as simple as like she sees the cat eyeing it. And then she takes another piece of her food and then gives it to the cat. The cat eating the food. She's like, "There, I solved that problem. Like, the cow's about to eat the caterpillar.
I want to paint a picture for you. There's you go in macro style. It's this little cute little caterpillar, and the caterpillar looks, and the cat. And
I was just eye contact, this. Yes.
And then you see the caterpillar go, eyes go wide, and then the whole body like bristles, like you see the wave against. Like,
I just got literal chills from you describing that.
Then the cat like narrows its eyes and then
doing like
low
one
purr.
Moment. Yeah, we're like we're now in caterpillar POV, looking at the giant eye of this cat staring at it is great.
That's very good.
But then you do act two of the caterpillar story. The caterpillar, she turns the plant, she can't find it. Where did it go?
Oh, yeah, where's
and then
the
you're like, where did it go? But then she's got to go back to work, which is a little disquieting. And then who's that scooching around the table? She hasn't looked up to notice he has the caterpillar.
That's very good. It's as simple as she's not paying attention. She's got like a pen and a pencil, and then the caterpillar is squishing around. And the caterpillar like knocks the pencil and just rolls off the table. And she just like absentmindedly goes to grab the pencil, and the pencil's gone. And she grabs the caterpillar instead. She goes, "Oh, hey, caterpillar." She's like, "Hey, where'd my pencil go?" She looks around.
Now, do you think there's going to be too much tension? Are people going to be afraid that the caterpillar is going to be
squished? That's too tense, Matt. What you're describing has got me
small amount. No, then you do. She like grabs the pencil, and what's down there that she finds when she goes to grab her pencil? It's like a like a childhood toy.
Yeah, I feel like you got to be careful with how you play the caterpillar, because the caterpillar cannot be ever in like I'm gonna get crushed out of zone. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
Or you just start the movie with like an Alfred Hitchcock style. The director I would just like you to know as you enjoy this motion picture that the caterpillar will not get squished.
Nothing bad will happen. Please, sit back and enjoy.
Okay,
this
looking at these
picture.
Other details.
Let's talk about that fucking. What's you watching on YouTube?
Yeah, what's
right? Because you're saying YouTube's open.
Dude, what
right?
if it's a fucking? What if she's there's an image of. The reverse where it's someone's drawn like a cat person and then there's like a human person on the
I saw
the,
that yeah someone's
sill.
Done a yeah well, it's like a cat studying and then there's a little human sitting of it's her sitting on the window.
What is she looking to? Well, she's on the YouTube page.
Does she have
probably
any friends
Joe
that chat
Rogan.
With her? Does like a little
the entire thing the entire under the 2 hours is just some random episode of the Joe Rogan podcast. I gotta listen to Joe talk to Elon Musk.
Oh, I think it starts without the googly eyes on her headphones, and she puts that on at some point.
Or one of them falls off.
No. Or,
Well.
I say you even do that, like when she reaches down to grab something, she like pulls up. She's got like there's like they're just the little googly eyes are like sitting in her like pencil box or whatever, and she just looks at them and she's like ah, and then she takes them and like oh what's she gonna do with those? And then she like grabs some glue. She
puts
them
on her headphones.
On.
Yeah,
like, ah.
I goes, like that because that's a little meta one for the audience who knows the universe. They're like that's like seeing Captain America pick up Thor's hammer.
Oh,
you know what
and
I mean?
Then what's the tension of that? She puts them on, but she's facing the other way, and the cat looks at them and goes oh, and gets scared. The googly eyes and she like laughs and she turns her headphones around so he doesn't have to look at the googly eyes.
But then her stereo image is flipped from left to right.
Does that matter?
Yes.
Why?
Because left should be coming from the left and right should be coming from the left.
Yeah,
no, it doesn't
matter.
If I really want to feel like I'm in the music, then the drummer's got to be coming out of my left ear and the guitar's got to be coming out of my right
ear. You know, I never sympathize with left-handed people until I reverse my headphones and then I heard like they heard. And I was like, wow, they hear the world in such a different way. I totally didn't understand the struggles they went through until I reversed the headphones.
Very chill. Very cool. We're going to take a quick break. And relax, kick back, relax, listen to some ads, and we'll be right back.
If you're sick of constantly arguing with the people closest to you about topics that really aren't going to change the world, we're here to take that stress off of your shoulders. We take care of it for you on We Got This with Mark and Hal.
That's right, Hal. If you have a subjective question that you want answered objectively, once and for all time, for all of the people of the world, questions like who's the best Disney villain, Mac or PC, or should you put ketchup on a hot dog? That's why we're here.
Yes, I get that these are the biggest questions of our time, and we're often joined by special guests like Nathan Fillion, Orlando Jones, and Paget Brewster. So let Mark and Hal take care of it for you on We Got This with Mark and Hal, weekly on Maximum Fun.
Gentlemen, two more clues, two things that actually draw.
Other things to come.
Other things to draw upon.
Okay.
The shelf to her right, we appear to have a little cow figurine.
Mm-hmm.
We appear to have, Matt, you're the board game expert, appears to be a small book, maybe a card-based board game up there.
Yeah, that doesn't look like a book. That looks like a little card game. That looks like it could be a little game.
And a little weird wizard hat next to it.
Oh, yeah, I do see the wizard
hat.
It's
a wizard hat,
bro. Is it a
wizard
hat? Is it like a something? It's got like the little like drawstrings. So she's got a little messy bookshelf. God, I mean, after the highs of the cat getting stuck behind the door, it's really hard to find
to
figure out.
All right, all right. Well, let me. Okay, so yes, we have these little vignettes. Is there like
an overarching
a structure to this? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, if we were to essentially give this a five act, what would those five acts be? Right. So essentially, we want to start in the room. We start on the empty chair, right?
Yes.
Like, if she comes in the door, like we maybe hear her talk to her mom through the door.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh no, it's the sounds of the proto-European city outside, and like the music comes
beep,
in.
Beep, yeah, exactly. Russian traffic.
In fact, the first shot probably is the Sydney, and you put back
say,
out into it.
You know what they did? The one thing that, and maybe this would just be too much, or I shouldn't be giving notes to the master, but like it does feel like this image could use like a peaceful subway train clattering by in the background. Like,
that's fun.
You're right.
I like that.
Anyway.
No, that's fun. I can do a little something. Like, it's just a little thing. Like, her pencils keep, every time they drive by, it's like a little rattle. And it's like, get like a little fun change every time like the subway shakes her room a little bit.
By the way, it's the rain on the windows. You ever stare at raindrops scooching down the window when you're a little kid?
Yeah.
Like, you could do something with that. Like, she's waiting for the two little drops to hit each other and turn into a big drop.
That's good.
Do you know what I mean?
Good. Yep, that's good image.
Okay, but yes, to the structure. Okay, so
maybe it's as simple as, you know, something that people love in terms of like this sort of just, it feels like just completing tasks. Like, there's something satisfying about like checking off a check mark. Like, you could do like, she comes in and the mom's like, hey, dinner in 2 hours. She's like, oh, good. That's just enough time to do everything I need. And then like the first, like, she lays out and she's got like five things on the checklist.
Yes. Oh, my
God. And it's
God.
Just every act is
laying
just, she goes,
out the fucking mise en scène.
Yeah.
The mise en place of her study. Like, she neatly lines up the notebook. She sets out the pencils. Right?
Yes.
Like, she's gathering her tools and her implements.
Yes.
She's writing the list, like, math homework, 10
yes.
minutes, this.
Yes.
That. You're getting a preview of the whole movie.
Yes.
Right? You're like, ooh, this is fucking nice.
And then you
nice.
Just get that satisfactory just watching the checklist go down. You're like, oh, this
and
is
then
great.
She
she's completing
open
it.
That first page, and then... So that's your first act.
Yeah, the first thing is the cat wants to get it.
And it's cat.
Well, no, but hold on. Before we get to the specific whys and wherefores of these little moments, I'm just talking about the overall movements of her goal.
Yes.
Right? So, like, the first thing is dealing with the distractions of the environment.
Yes.
Right? So, yes, you've got the cat. You've got the pencil breaks. She's now, like, the sort of reality has intruded on her perfect plan.
Okay,
right?
I got an idea. This will lose.
Wait. Okay, before you go. Hear me out.
Yeah.
Hear me out. Act one, she's getting ready to study. Right? She lets all the stuff. Then we have the intrusion. The intrusion is the cat. Heralded by the cat, but the cat is now the agent of chaos, right? Because she's dealing with the cat, and then as she's dealing with the cat, she knocks the pencil over, right? And now she's got to look for the pencil. Now, all these little things are starting to intrude on her studying. She's hearing the noise downstairs. It's distracting her, blah, 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 blah. This brings us to the start of Act 3, traditionally where the hero gets their magical item, the headphones.
Ah,
I can't concentrate with all this crap going on. I'm going to put on my magic headphones and put on my low beats to tune out the rest of the world.
And her attitude wouldn't be, I can't concentrate. She'd be like, oh, it's a little noisy. I'll just put these headphones
exactly,
on.
Exactly, yes. Look, for my purposes, we need to boost the gain all the way up so we can see where the delineations are. And then we're going to bring that gain back down so the audience doesn't even fucking know they're happening.
There
but yes,
you go.
This is her pulling the sword out of the stone moment is she's like, it's time to fire up these bad
okay,
boys.
I like
right? We're playing that as chill as humanly possible, but that's what's going on.
Holy
that's
shit.
What?
Did you know that if you go back in time enough and turn it to night, there's two modes on this video?
Yeah, there's a nighttime and a, we can also see day transition
day goes to
night.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. That
sunset.
That.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Oh yeah, like a little thing would be like as the sun goes down, it like does that, like it casts like a sharp beam on her eyes. She goes, oh, she's like, you know, scoots back. Out of the way. I was gonna say, look, okay, this is gonna be controversial. I'm not gonna lie, this is maybe the most difficult thing I've ever said.
It does go to evening,
but
there's an evening mode too, bros.
We will lose a good chunk of the audience, including myself, but but we will gain a huge dedicated audience also. Here's what I'm proposing. Here's a little problem. She's not touching her computer for a while. Goes into sleep mode. She looks up. Oh, what's that? The screen's black. What does that act like? It acts like a mirror. She notices she's got a big pimple on her nose. So then she's like, oh, I should pop this pimple. Super close.
And then it's a popping video?
Matt, that's not lo-fi or chill.
That is not lo-fi
chill.
Or chill.
Not for me.
How dare you?
My wife would not only ruin
this movie, you ruined this episode of this podcast.
My wife would watch this movie so quickly.
No,
she's like,
no,
oh,
no,
these
no,
things
no,
lo-fi.
I got ice cream on my steak. Get the fuck out of here.
Does your wife also like
Tell
popping videos?
Tell your sick freak of a wife to watch your disgusting zit videos on her own time.
Doesn't your wife also watch zit
videos?
Yes,
she does.
And for them, it's lo-fi and chill. They love it.
But it's different. It's a different thing. It's a different.
It's not. I get it. It's Matt, the grossest thing in the world to me.
Look, Matt, we can do the pimple popping movie next week. I will go there. I will figure that movie out. But that is a whole different milieu. That is a whole different thing.
Incidentally. Just like Subby Bob black and white version. On the DVD, if you are into pimple popping, there's a deleted pimple popping scene just specifically for those people that love that moment.
Jesus fucking Christ.
How dare you bring pimple popping into this beautiful scene. Okay. All right. Act three, she puts on the headphones. I like that. And now this gives you a different flavor because now this is like she's trying
to get... That's not ASMR. That's your lo-fi
beats. The beats have come in. And now she's getting absorbed in the work. Yes. Right? And now, like, I think you could do stuff that plays around with, like, the, like... You know, like, I would love to see her try to figure out a word problem. Mm-hmm. Like, if she's doing math and it's, like, a two trains... Oh, my God! It's, like, the two trains word problem, right? But then do
that's
we, like...
too much conflict, bro. What about, like, a guy with a bunch of apples? What about a guy with a bunch of apples? You know?
Like, whatever was she first grade?
Seeing her...
They were like, wait a second. Was she first grade?
But maybe you see her, like, sketch out... the problem because she's an artist, right? So she's drawing and then she's trying to draw, like she's trying to figure, it starts out like her trying to figure out the two trains and when they're going to meet or the how many apples the guy's going to have left. But then she gets really into drawing because the music, she's so absorbed, right? She gets really into drawing the scene and we're seeing this, like, again, it's like a little bit of like sketch, seeing something. It's like Bob Ross almost. You're seeing the sketch come to life. It almost maybe even animates on the page a little bit. You can have a little bit of fun with that. And then she's like, oh shit, I just blew my 15 minutes for my math homework. All right, well, I'll do it next week or whatever. Right? Like,
It's fine.
Well, she looks at me, she goes, oh, she shakes her head. And she just writes down the answer. Yeah, she goes on the page and she writes down the answer.
Her handwriting sucks. No, I'm kidding. Nah, her handwriting's going to be so fucking lush, dude. All the curly bits and stuff. Yep. Real bubble-ass letters. Hell yeah, bro.
So you've got that kind of mood, but now she's zoned in, right? So what is the complication that arises because she's zoned in? Does she lose track of time?
Maybe the food is a good enough at the food beginning. There. And the cat, when she puts on the headphones, the cat's the problem. Because the cat couldn't get in because she can't hear the kitty cat trying to come in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it is.
Oh, so you do, and then you do, the cat comes in when the mom comes in with the food.
Yes. And the
mom turns around to close the door, the cat was following the mom. She's like, here's food, honey. And then the mom closes the door on the cat. The cat just barely missed getting in.
What if the cat is stuck in there and wants to be out? Bro,
that could be the next escalation.
Look outside. The cat's looking outside.
She puts on the headphones and
the cat wants to go out.
Go out. And she's not noticing.
She hasn't noticed that the cat wants to go out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
But the cat's patient. Good boy.
But to move this, those are all really good complications. To move this around her goal of finishing her studying, right? Like, to me, I'm like, and again, like, what is her find moment? Like, what is her thing? Like, she gets to this place where she's able to work or she's able to do what she wants to do, right? And she's zoned into the music. She's doing her thing. What is the consequence of that for her? Not for the cat, not for the caterpillar, but for her in terms of her goal. Because that brings you into the next thing.
She...
Is it just that she finishes all the easy stuff and now it's time to do the poem and she doesn't want to do the poem? Now she's got to do the hard stuff.
Now it's the word problem. Now it's the essay.
Yeah, it's the essay. It's the essay where you got to write about...
Ooh, and that's how you'd start. She pulls up, she's got the order of stuff she's going to do.
Oh, it's at the top.
And then she looks and the essay's like... What do you want to do in your life? And she's like, about right. She goes, eh. And then she switches the order up and does the math homework first. So now it's like.
Yes, we see the denial. We see the I'm going to kick this to later, you know, like, and I don't want to deal with it right now. And so you see her fly through her shit.
Because she's focused, she flies through all the homework and actually she's got plenty of time.
You would even do that. It's like something that her mom is like, don't forget, you got to work on your college entrance exam.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, mom, it's not due for 2 weeks. Like, yeah, but if you get to, it's like, all right, if I have time, I'll work on it.
Yeah.
Right. And then now she has time.
Yes.
Because she did such a good job studying.
Okay.
And now the fourth act. Yes. What is that? So now this is where you would see the mirror of the self. The computer has gone
with
to sleep.
With a big pimple?
No. No, Matthew. No.
Matt in his traditional way is going to turn me around on the pimple. I just know it.
I refuse. I hate pimple popping. I feel like that moment would be that she looks at, like, okay, if it's a college entrance exam, it's a college essay. It's always like something like, tell us about yourself or like
what's
the
most important thing in your life. The cat, man.
So I feel like that's the moment where you finally like open up the space. Like also in terms of visuals, it's like you kind of been really contained on the desk. I feel like she kind of looks at it and she kind of spins around the desk.
And now you start seeing the rest of the room.
And you see her
gamer rig and her Twitch setup.
She goes, I want to be a Zoomer. I'm a millennial, but my dream is to be a Zoomer because they're so fucking cool. She's looking around. And then you start seeing, like, okay, so then you see...
She gets up from the chair. She's wandering around the room. She's trying to think. She moves to the bed to write. You know, maybe she starts to nod off.
Oh,
know?
That's a...
Oh, strong nap energy. Real-time nap energy.
Time for a nap, right?
Time for a nap.
And then she has a dream when she's napping.
Hold on, I don't know if you want to get outside. No. It's got to be, we got to stay in this world, man.
It'd be like, she wants to nap, but then the kitty cat keeps like climbing on her stomach and then on her face and then like on her stomach. She's like, oh, you're right. I can't nap, little buddy.
I like the
work.
Tension of her. Like, you see her nod off. You're like, is she going to fall asleep? And then she's like, like one of those.
She just does it.
She just gets really sleepy and then just like kind of powers through it.
She doesn't. She shakes up and then she looks and then she sees like all these books and maybe it is. Maybe we take from the original inspiration. She wants to be a writer, so like words mean a lot to her, like stories, like that's what she wants to do.
It's true.
You're essentially seeing like a, and again, this isn't earth shattering, right?
Yeah,
this isn't gonna like the, and that was the moment I decided I wanted to be a writer or whatever, like, but it is like she comes to some sort of self realization, right? And then she is going to now, that's your turn, whatever that epiphany is, and we can figure that out in a second, but then that becomes your turn into the fifth act, is this is the final beast of the studying, right? She has to vanquish the essay, right? Mm-hmm. So then you would see her write the essay and then go down to dinner.
The most stressful point would be like, she's like, well, I should work on this essay. Maybe she's kind of stressed, not stressed, because I don't want to make this too stressful. She's kind of like, an hour, I don't know if that's enough time. She kind of lays down. She's kind of thinking of inspiration. She's about to fall asleep. She wakes up. Okay, good. And then maybe she starts just trying to write the essay, like, from the get-go. Like, she just wants to kind of get through
it. Just kind of knock it out. Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
It's not working. And then, like, the dramatic ending is essentially she's like, she figures out what she wants to write about, and she just outlines it, kind of like how she outlined her study day. Like, you don't have to conquer it all right now. Like, days, don't stress out. Like, if don't be like me and procrastinate. Like, she does what she did for her 2-hour session. She figures out what she wants to write. She looks at her essay. Instead of trying to start the essay from the beginning, she's like, I'm going to write about this. And the second paragraph will be this. And I'll write about this. Oh, that's a good story. And she kind of outlines her essay. She goes, know what? And it's like dinner time. And she looks at it. She goes, great. Next study session is going to be great.
Yeah. Like, I like that. I like that she breaks it down, right? Yeah. It is like, this is this thing that's been scaring her, right?
Yes.
Is doing this thing. And
yes,
then,
the beginning. She doesn't want to start it at the beginning.
Yeah. So she starts it. Right, yes. Like that's essentially she starts it, and she starts it with a simple task, which is breaking down how she's going to do it.
Yeah.
That's fucking good as shit.
That's good.
How does she come to that moment, though?
Okay.
I think you got that,
yeah.
And then I think I'm starting to, I feel like
yeah,
you got
and then
the
you
movie.
Just have to work, I mean, it's hard to come up with, you know, things
you
like Capilar Cats.
Sort
you
got
like
delightful...
You know, Chaplin takes a long time to figure out these gags, but yeah, so you have a lot of fun little very micro... little like slice of life,
to
you know,
to categorize them in terms of their overall aesthetic. The beginning, the first act, is the sort of fetishization of perfection and of like, you know, oddly satisfying, again, all the evenly layered pencils, the like preparing for war, but she's like, you know, like getting her desk just right, and it's about tidiness and neatness, right? And then act two, that neatness is disrupted by the actual your actual grappling with the world around you. And that's where you get the comedy with the cat. Act three is the like, I'm gonna zone in with my magic headphones and my lo-fi beats, and then she enters a kind of dreamlike state, right?
Yes.
And that's where she's,
and
you
she's
know,
very efficient, but then the audience is also getting the enjoyment of like little funny things are happening around her because she doesn't notice it.
The things that were distracting her are not distracting her.
Yes.
And then you see comic situations result because they aren't distracting her anymore. Like,
and then
the caterpillar gets lost, the cat's trying to get out. You know, she doesn't realize she's tipping dangerously close back in her chair, but then she catches it or whatever, right? Like that kind of stuff.
Yes, exactly. And then the give and take, the classic Chaplin gag. There's gags that happen to the character, and there's gags that the audience, this dramatic irony, the audience sees the gag, but the character doesn't. So it's a lot of
I would love to, in real time, solve a math problem with her. Like, again, like literally, we get the word problem, and then, like, we follow the painstaking logic of a high school freshman working through, like, a trigonometry problem or something.
That's
would be delightful to me.
And then the give and the take, like, the high point is, like, she completes her homework,
check,
but then the little point
check,
is that
check.
She's got
oh,
to
shit. I
she's
do
the
do
the
essay
that
the
she didn't want to
start. The hard one, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so
and
now...
And then your little act four is her kind of uncertain, you know, looking into herself as
maybe
she's trying to
figure
out.
Maybe she, too, looks out the window with her cat.
And again, in a good Shakespeare sense. Yeah, she could do that. A good Shakespeare
sense. I love
sense.
Her looking out.
Oh, and then you get to see the world outside and the little vignettes out there, rear window style, but not too much.
Ooh, yeah.
But
no,
not
I
too
love
much.
That. A turn where she gets up and looks out the window as the sort of climax.
That's what it
that
is.
Act.
That's
what
no,
makes
no,
her realize that she wants to be a writer.
That's the fucking inspiration moment, is that she absorbs the outside world.
Yes.
And then that's the thing that flips her into, okay, I'm on the right.
It reminds me of there's this incredible moment in the... It's not Mountains of Madness, that's our thing, but the Ghibli documentary, mm-hmm. House of Dreams. What is it?
Kingdom of Dreams and Madness.
Kingdoms of Dream and Madness. There's someone I forget, but he talks about. God. He just starts talking. He just like sees somebody outside. He starts talking about the story of it.
It's fucking. No, he. It's. Oh it's God, so. I good. Literally.
That's the best moment in that. Yeah.
They literally. My wife and I, who are huge Ghibli fans, went and then we were just both like she was just weeping uncontrollably the whole time, and I was like every 10 minutes something in that movie just rips your guts out. But literally. Miyazaki is on his way to retire. He's literally waiting outside the room up to about to announce his retirement. And then he calls the director of the documentary over. He's like, look out that window. And then she looks out the window. And he's like, can't you imagine like running across that rooftop and then jumping up here and then sliding down that?
And then they cut in all the fucking
all
bits
the
from their movies.
People running it. It's so beautiful. Fuck.
So we've seen all these little stories happening inside her room. And then she's like,
she
thinking,
wonders
there's
about
no more inspiration inside. Cause it's hard for her to look inside herself. She's looking, we see some stuff. We see the books, we see things. And I think that's when we start getting a sense that she wants, like, she likes stories. She likes writing or whatever. She wants to be a painter or something. Some sort of artistic thing, I think.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No,
and
this
then
is,
she looks outside
the
and then we kind of see the world in her eyes and she's noticing all these little stories and she's laughing. Maybe she even like doodles and writes a little like, like poem or whatever. And then she realizes like, wait, this is what I like doing.
Here's what it is. And I think you keep it mysterious. It's a little lost in translation.
Yes.
Because to me, here's the heat. Here's the heat. This is the exact energy. It's like, you ever go home and you dig through all your old shit?
Yeah.
Like that kind of vibe.
It's been
like,
a while, but yes. Like my parents are cleaning out the garage.
You look at your old essays and stuff like that. So that's what this fourth act journey winds up being for her. Like at first you see her wrestling with like, oh, I really don't want to do this. You see her, she indulges in the dark vice of distracting herself. You know, like she's like gonna monkey around with a little board game on her desk or whatever.
Oh,
she's
finds a first grade essay that says, what do you want to be when you grow up? And she wrote, I'm a cat. I want to be a cat. And she looks at her cat and the cat looks at her.
So it's all that kind of stuff. And meanwhile, time is ticking down and she realizes she's wasting her time. So yes. And then that's when she looks, the room feels so tiny and so suffocating. And she's like, this is basically our long dark night of the soul, is that feeling of like, I'm a little trapped in here. Yeah. And then she sees the cat looking out the window and then she gets up and looks out the window. Yeah. And then you get this beautiful shot of the city and she's looking in those, she's seeing the trees. She takes in the external world. And then she realizes what she has to do.
Oh, actually, I was like, actually, I'm brilliant. It starts off as a joke, but it's actually the thing that pushes her to the window. She's looking for inspiration. She finds this old essay, like this first grade essay. Yeah, it's like, what do you want to be when you grow up? She's like, I want to be a cat. And she's like, she looks at the cat and the cat looks at her. And then she's like laughing about it. But then the cat turns and looks out the window and she's like, maybe I should be a cat. She walks over and it's like, maybe my first grade self was, because every once in a while I'll look at like stuff I wrote when I was second or third grade. I was like, I was smarter back then. She's like, looks outside the window just like the cat does.
And then I think it's she is moved by what she sees.
Yes.
And then it's another little beautiful tableau where you realize every window is telling a different story and that kind of thing. And she's moved by the beauty of the world.
Yeah.
Right. And then that energy, and I don't think you need to like, and I want
to
be a writer.
Yeah, actually, I don't think you need to know what she wants to be.
You don't need to know. You just need to know that seeing that and then that inspires her and then she brings that back and she has renewed her creative potential and she starts breaking down the list of the essays and then she's like, how did it go? It's like, oh, I got started.
Yeah, then mom opens the door, is like, hey, dinner time, is it a good place to stop? She's like, yeah, I think I got a lot done. And she just closes the door and you're like, yay.
So chill.
This is to go even further beyond chill. Yo, for real, we could fucking pitch this movie. Like, this fucking kicks
for
ass.
For real, you just make this movie.
Yeah, this is like, do. Can we just call, who's it, Chilled Cow is the guy who runs the...
Chilled Cow is the person who
runs
it.
Let's just pitch our
incidentally,
Chilled
Beats
movie
I did
to Chilled Cow.
Incidentally, I did look. There is, in fact, what she's watching is a bunch of Chilled Cow videos on YouTube.
I respect the hustle.
I respect that hustle.
She looks across the way and she sees the guy making the beats that she's listening to. And she's like, the whole world is connected. Wow. I really like that.
Yeah, it's great.
We've done it.
We did
somehow
it.
Did a chill.
It's no Sad Banana, but it's pretty good.
That's a chill-ass movie.
No, that's like, a chill-ass movie.
And again,
movie.
To me, it's like The Dream is a movie that you could literally put on for the lo-fi beats experience if you just want to not pay attention. But it's also a thing like you could watch and really just enjoy and get something out of. You know? I really like that.
I think it's very good. I was trying to find, is it Jacques Demy? Yes, Jacques Demy. No, that's a different one. Anyways, there's a weird, I forget his name. There's a weird like French, as they all are. There's a weird like French like kind of new wave filmmaker that was not quite like a
Tati.
Not like quite like a Tati, but he did a lot of kind of physical comedy. And yes, I'll send it all to you. But there's literally a short film of his, which is just him trying to sign a paper like for 15 minutes. It's just very simple. It's just like the ink spills and he just like sighs and he cleans up the ink and then he like opens the desk and there's like a lot of pens and he's trying to think of which one. He's like, why am I thinking about which one? I'm just gonna grab this one. That's stupid. And then he's like, oh wait, I stained all the paper. It's just like, it's just so small. And it's like, yeah, like it's
this
just things like
heat.
That
this is the heat.
It's just that.
All right,
very good.
Well
yeah, great.
I am super into that. That was fun. Thank you guys for going on this chill lo-fi journey with me.
That was good as hell.
You can find some lo-fi fan art to study to on our Twitter page, twitter.com/RJStoryBreak, wherein thou shalt find Raina Joy sent us a really wonderful drawing of the Grouch, our grouchy superhero. And we also got a story broke picture of the Viru 5 from Internet.
Ooh, nice. Ooh.
So thanks very much. You can also head over to bit.ly/storybreakfb to join our Facebook group.
Thanks also to the Max Fun Podcast Network for having us on. And also thank you to Chad Ellis for editing.
Thanks, Chad.
You go to MaximumFun.org, by the way, and check out all the other great podcasts on the network. Find another chill podcast to relax and study to. Other than this one. Although this one, there's a lot of yelling in this one. So midway through this one, we wanted it to be a chill episode, but then Matt had to come
Matt
in with some
zero
dirty
energy.
Again, for a certain audience, though, that was the chillest part of it. Oh, his name is Pierre Itaix, E-T-A-I-X. How would you say that, Freddy?
I don't
Pierre
Itaix.
Yeah, anyways, this box set. Interesting stuff. Not like my favorite, no Jacques Tati, but definitely worth looking into. Anyways.
Check it out.
I want to give him credit. I didn't want to just like say that idea without saying who it was. I'm sure he cares.
I wanted to sound super smart, but knowing who he was.
It sounds really smart when I spend 10
Pierre,
minutes looking for it.
Some Zizek. We're going to be
out,
at
check
y'all.
Check out Zizek.
We're going to hit y'all next week with some more.
Oh, that's the moment she pulls up a book of Zizek and she starts reading it and she just puts it away.
She's like, what the fuck?
You see, yes, it's the dialectical imperialism.
Yes, she's reading The Sublime Object of Ideology by Zizek.
We'll see you all next week. My name is Freddie Wong.
I am Will Campos.
My name's
Chill Campos.
Chill Campos.
My name's Matt Chilliamson. I'm not. That's not my name. Matt Arnold. I. Goodbye.
Video games.
Video games.
Video games. You like them?
Maybe you wish you had more time for them?
Maybe you want to know the best ones to play?
Maybe you want to know what happens to Mario when he dies?
In that case, you should check out Triple Click. It's a podcast about video games.
A podcast about video games? But I don't have time for that.
Sure you do. Once a week, kick back as three video game experts give you everything from critical takes on the hottest new releases,
to scoops, interviews, and explanations about how video games work,
to fascinating and sometimes weird stories about the games we love.
Triple Click is hosted by me, Kirk Hamilton.
Me, Jason Schreier.
And me, Maddie Myers.
You can find Triple Click wherever you get your podcasts and listen at MaximumFun.org.
Bye.